Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. We record this live at 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. If you've got any questions, why don't you join us on YouTube or at the Membership Machine Facebook page? In this episode, we're going to be discussing how to build a multilingual website, multiple languages for your membership website. Should be a fun show. I've got my great co-host with me, Spencer Forum. He seems quite cheerful today.
I got my 8 hours of sleep, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, we can soon change that. I have the ability, the superpower to upset Spencer instantaneously.
Almost a guarantee for any of our regular listeners now that at some point during the show, you will push one of my many buttons.
There's a lot of them. I'm only kidding. So, Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Indeed. Hello to everybody. I noticed this week, by the way, we had a lot of interest. I had published that this is show number 12. It is our first dozen of the new Membership Machine Show. So I'm Spencer Forman, and now I like to be found mostly at spencerforman.com, F-O-R-M-A-N, by the way. Many of the businesses that I operate, including WP Launchify, Launchflows, and so forth, are there. But that's the hub of all the content now. And it's made it a lot easier. A lot of people have given me great feedback that, Spence, you've got so much stuff going on, you finally put it into a sort of like four legs of a table format. And you can find that at spencerforman.com or that same name across all the social media. So thanks, everybody. And I hope today, it looks like somebody's starting to drop in, we'll actually get some live show questions like we used to in the past, which would be awesome.
We love those. We got somebody from France joining us. There we go.
Je ne parle pas bien français.
Bonjour. Very impressed. So before we go into some of the best WordPress solutions, if you want to build a multilingual website, Spencer, are there any general points that you think we need to discuss before we go into the general list?
I do. This reminds me a lot of our conversation between events and bookings, right? Sounds the same. Looks the same. Not the same. So translation in WordPress has two flavors. One is the end user is translating at the browser level, typically, all of the stuff that they're consuming, or let's just say reading. That is different than stuff that's being translated at the publishing end or the social network interaction end from the people interacting with the site. Why? Well, right now, everybody has access to a free tool with the browser to just translate whatever they see in any page, right? Like literally Chrome or Safari or any of the modern browsers just say translate everything on this page and it happens. But that's different than actually publishing into the database the native language of something. And so when you're talking about multi-language, we oftentimes, and I in particular, have two levels of contact with this topic. One is I actually have been retained by many of these companies in the past for my professional expertise, but my customers, my clients use my services for their multi-language sites. Like, for example, one of them runs a very large, it's called the Auto Warehouse. They run a very large car leasing that has a big English and Spanish speaking audience. So having both of those languages in the database as native content. So as we talk is important. As we talk about how this works, we have to keep that in mind, right? Is it part of your business to have social network where the people will be typing in answers in multiple languages? Will your actual content for SEO be natively in 2, 3, 4 languages? Or do you just need something that the end user can use to translate what they're looking at, including things like, for example, at the WooCommerce level, are you going to be doing multilingual currency, right? I mean, that's actually not what we're covering today, but it's a part of what we could talk about. Okay, so that's the starting point. Otherwise, people are really confused about what we're going on about. I already got a browser extension. Why do I need any of this stuff?
Yeah, I think the other thing you've got to decide is Are you, when you utilize one of these plugins, are you going to go down the AI route, or are you going to hire somebody to help you with this? A physical translator, or are you going to utilize a mixture? If you're going to go down the AI route at the present moment, there seems the two dominant players that most of these plugins use a mixture of, or you can choose, is either Google Translate or DeepL. They seem to be the two that the solution that I've got the most experience utilizes DeepL, and I am not an expert in this, but based on my own experience and the research. I know you're surprised, audience. I did some extensive research on this. That DeepL, a lot of people say that DeepL is better than Google Translate.
I think you bring up a point, regardless of the actual product you use. One of the things that actually I should have thought of this, so thank you for reminding us. It's important. With any of these multilingual plugins, there are slight variations in dialect that can mean all of the difference. So in my experience in working with clients, they've either had in-house or have had to hire very qualified experts in writing natively in the various dialects. For example, I'm fairly fluent reading and speaking Spanish, but there's a huge difference between the kind of Spanish spoken here in the city of Chicago, maybe
hola.
Spain. Hola. Right. I am somewhat qualified in speaking British. Not really good yet. I kind of can make my way, but if I go south versus north, oy. And the point is that I think somebody should consider with any of these software solutions, there's going to be a need for some human intervention. And whether it's a hired gun, whether it's a freelancer, whether it's in-house, don't just think you could turn it on and it's going to work properly, because, you know, what they say, something in, something out, right?
You've got a very international audience, very appropriate.
You know why that is because we should tell everybody what happened. Up for show 1 through 11, Jonathan was giving me a link that I was sharing that I wasn't so able to share to my international flavor audience. Today, we agreed that he's going to give me a perpetual link to the show so that everybody can participate live on YouTube. And so I revealed it to my cosmopolitan international audience. So I hope we have a nice result here today of people interacting. Plus, the topic, I think, is useful to a lot of people. I mean, translation is a big deal.
We got Tina from South Africa. There we go. So let's start off, and they're in no specific order.
Let's dive in.
Let's go with our first one, which I don't have much experience with, and that's Multi-Language by Best Fab Soft. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Is it Best Web Soft?
Best Web Soft, indeed.
So, have you got any experience with this, and B, got any comments about it?
You know, I think what we should do on this, because there's going to be a lot of overlap. This is going to be very subtle. There is not going to be black and white, clear-cut differences in this particular field between this product and that product. Some of the products we've discussed in the past for the other categories, it was more clean-cut. Here, these are going to be subtle differences. It's going to have a lot to do with the company, as we've discussed. It's going to have the support and the service. Because, again, kind of like going to the cereal aisle or the soda pop aisle or the beer aisle or the wine aisle, there may be 500 different things to choose from, not all right and wrong. Right. So Best Websoft has a history of a lot of products. It's a larger company. You will talk about this like with Weglot similarly. They have a great reputation. It's very clear where they're at. They've got development. I don't have any actual experience with using their product, unlike some of these other ones. So I cannot say in terms of like I can actually compare it apples and oranges as I will for some of the other ones. But when you look at their plugins and you look at the pricing, you can see that this is sort of an array of other things. Compare that to, let's say, I'll use Weglot, they are one focus company. And I think that's important here because many people can do well across many things, but I think a company that focuses on one thing lines up with what I've discussed many times in our other shows about being a feature versus a framework, being focused on one thing versus another. So I would suggest that this is an interesting comparative. They do a lot of stuff, very qualified, very easy to browse. Pricing seems comparable, but they're not focused just on this. This is just one of many things they do.
Yeah, I think you've made a very fair point, and it is difficult. They're experienced WordPress plugin shop, but they don't specialize specifically in this area, which doesn't mean their plugin is bad. So you really got to... I personally would advise somebody to look at one of these solutions where they're more focused. But if it's there's something that this plugin specifically does, which some of the other main competitors don't, I think you should look at it. I've got more experience with some of the other plugins that we're going to talk about. So let's go on to the next one, which is GT Translate. In the past, had some people utilize this, the free plugin. One of the reasons why this is popular, because they've got a very good free solution, and then they've got a paid solution. The free solution's got limits on how many languages, but the free one isn't crippled from the day one. You can utilize, and that's why a lot of people look at it. And then it starts off at $9.99, goes up for one website. But I think that's why this is popular, because it's got a reasonably pretty effective free solution. It's a bit like Contact 7. We were a bit cruel to it when we were talking about forms. The present developer isn't a bad guy. I had some initial reservations with the initial developer. That was years ago, but we still wouldn't recommend it.
I don't think we were unkind in any way. I think we're actually very clear about it. There's a difference, and I'll apply the same logic here. So GT Translate does differentiate itself nicely. If you go to their pricing page, you'll see, besides the free, which again allows you a limited but full capacity, right? So all languages, machine translation, unlimited words. The difference as you go down their pricing page is actually a really, really nice, clear, add a little more that makes sense. So for $10 a month, you go two languages, not all languages, neural translation, but you don't get like URL translations, you don't get language. And as you inch forward, you know, 19 a month, 29 a month, 39 a month, they add more languages, more features like those extra things such as URL translation and so forth. Their top plan at $39 a month definitely distinguishes them from, for example, and again, I just keep having to go to them because I have intimate knowledge working with them, something like Weglot. And they have a different pricing plan too. Like Weglot prices on words as well as other things, but their general pricing is significantly higher, right? Like the meat and potatoes start at $79 and go up to $700 a month versus the other. Even though you could try Weglot for free, you really aren't going to use Weglot for much, because if you get 2,000 words, right? Like that's a very limited amount of stuff, but enough to let you see it. So I actually like GTranslate for someone who is wanting to dip their toe in the water. Even if they go to a paid plan, any business that is operating, as I've talked about in other shows, if you're not budgeting at least $300 a month for all of your plugins and your hosting and your services, you're really not being very realistic about your business, right? I mean, sure, it could be a hobby, but any real business is going to need to spend about $3,000, $3,600 a year on just the stuff that you're doing to support the business. And this fits nicely into that pricing model.
Yeah, it looks good. My only slight reservation is it is utilizing Google Translate. You know, that's what they utilize. I think DeepL is a better AI system. So, and the one I think there's a better solution here. But as we get further up, we're probably
by the way. Hold on. You bring up a good point. Let's define the difference. Even it's on the GTranslate site, but we should talk about that. That's another thing. So machine translation is an earlier generation where Google and Bing provide automated translations for free, right? Neural translation is where Google's engine is providing automatic human level neural machine translations, which I think I can translate into. They are basically editorially overviewing what's being translated. So those things I was referring to earlier, such as dialect variations and so forth, don't come out with really odd. And here's why this is important to somebody. You know, at the base level, if you're just basically, you know, force feeding a translation, the gist of it will get through. But we all know how weird it can be in a business situation where you say something just slightly in the wrong order of words and you give off the sort of like, what the heck is wrong with you vibe to a customer. So you don't want to have that in a real professional business situation, especially on things like your sales page, your terms of service, because it might actually deliver the opposite perception you intend, right? Instead of being helpful, you now come off as like unprofessional or worse.
Yeah, you make a great point there. Before we go on further on our windy road, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
The importance of backing up your WordPress website cannot be emphasized enough. We use BlogVault to help us do this on a daily basis. With free staging, migrations, and on the pro plans, malware scanning and autofix, BlogVault is the professional's choice when managing just one website or many. Go to blogvault.com and see for yourself. You seriously won't find a better, more complete solution. That's blogvault.com, blogvault.com.
We're coming back. I want to point out one of our other major sponsors, that's Zolo.com. Now, if you're looking for a CRM, a sales-oriented CRM, if you're looking for linking your membership website to a financial package that will work with your bookkeeping, if you've got a lot of requirements, have a look at Zolo, because they've got over 50 apps. Almost all their apps have a really great functioning free product, and they are committed to integrate with WordPress in a much higher level in the coming year. But they've also got a really amazing suite of different apps and products. So go over to Zolo.com. So, they might even have a language. I don't know. I didn't check that. They probably do. So let's go up further on. Another one that I haven't got a lot of experience with, that's Multilingual Press. $99. One website. Have you got any experience with this one?
Right. I think I dropped.
Oh, you're dropping a little bit. Hopefully you'll return. Oh dear. He's frozen, folks. Have you put your coins in for your meter, Spencer? Or you're just frozen? So I better look at the time here.
And I'm back. Sorry, I had to go. I'm living here in the big city of Chicago, but you'd think I was in 1897 with the Wi-Fi connectivity I've got. So I have a backup network, but man, does it feel weird in 2023 to have to switch to your backup network in the middle of the day because something goes down. Anyway, sorry. Multilingual Press was, I believe, what we were going to talk about, right? Sorry, folks. All right. So I think this is an interesting other example. Let's go back to the kind of factors that I look for, assuming that we've got a situation where there's a supermarket aisle full of similar products. The plug-in, their team, the support, the refund policies, the what it does as a framework versus whatever, these are really important. And this team actually matches up with everything that I would be looking for, right? So the team itself is well-known. They give their origin story. The plugin's been around since 2011. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee that they're very clear about. All of the trust factors are there, right? As far as like whether this could do the job, they sell in multi-language, multi-currencies as well. They have updates. Everything is on par here. This is just another example where there's the big players, there's the ones that spend a lot of money on marketing and so forth, but this could be a nice sleeper product, right? It's something that I would encourage anybody to go try out because it matches all my own, you know, criterion. As far as the buy now, it's pricey. It's not unreasonable. It's pricey. And it's a weird pricing thing because this one, again, is set up where it's $99 for one site. And then it goes up, of course, to like multi-site of nine sites for $5.99. It's an odd mix, I will tell you, of how they priced it, simply because in this space where there's going to be translation engines or things at work that are services being used, I would imagine they have to do something about it. But it's odd to just pick which one would be right. Like, do I need three sites or nine sites? That's just a weird mix. Usually it's one site, unlimited sites, or something else when it comes to services. But I wouldn't hold that against them. I just think that's an unusual price bracket. Otherwise, I don't, again, I hate to say it, you often pull these out of that. I have not actually tested this in real life. And I also, one last thing I want to address is, do they have a free one? Is there a free version of this?
I'm not getting that from their website. I think you're spot on with it because I haven't, it's focused. The website is great. I've not used it with any clients. It's not been on my radar. But I think its main problem is the competitors and their pricing structure and the way they communicate the plugin on their website.
There is somebody who's posted. See, this is what's weird. There is somebody who's posted GitHub. Nobody is going to normally use this, but there's like GitHub versions of this. I don't see any versions that are like a free in the repository. I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, please somebody type it into the chat or otherwise.
Yeah, please.
Hold on. I actually take it back. I do see something about it. Hold on. Now I found it. There is a free plugin version in here. It hasn't been tested with the latest three versions. There is a free plugin version that it's really weird because it refers to like, you know, things that have not been updated since 4 years ago. I don't know if I would touch that free part with a 10-foot pole.
No, I don't think that would be wise. Right. Let's go on to something that I'm sure we're going to have a fair bit to say. And that's the granddaddy of these plugins. If you're hiring a professional translator to help you, they are going to really strongly advise you to utilize this plugin with their service. I don't know what to say to you because I'll strongly resist what they're saying, but that's a bad position in a way. I'm sure Spencer's going to explain what I've just said. So we're talking about WPML. So what's your experiences with this? And B, would you agree with the, I already put my foot in it, really. Surprise, surprise, Spencer. Would you agree what I've just outlined?
I mean, WPML is definitely one of the godfathers of the situation that we're discussing today. I love the pricing. It's really simple. There's credits for the translation, which again indicates to me they understand the nature of what has to happen. They have all the regular kind of support. So this would be on my top one or two or three to try. And as far as deep integration and so forth, there's a lot of stuff in terms of for tinkerers. You go do a Google search, you find people talking about this particular plugin and things that work with it. You find snippets and things that you can use to filter and modify over in Stack Overflow. So you've got that legacy of WordPress that really makes a difference today. You know, again, one of the downsides, this is getting outside of the translation itself, but one of the downsides of the shift in WordPress to modern, you know, JSON and React and other kinds of things is that you're going to lose a lot of the old PHP filters and functions and CSS snippets and all the stuff that we used to be able to tinker with. Like, say bye-bye, it's going away, because you're going to, the output is not any longer determined by things of that nature. It's determined by, there's, you know, a JSON file that spits out into something that spits out code to your browser, and you don't have a chance to hit it at the PHP level or CSS level. So a lot of these plugins still have that legacy, and that to me is a very comforting thing, even though they're completely modernized and work with Gutenberg. We will see this year what happens with the plugin block stack and the full site editing themes and the site editor. But I like the fact that there's still this nice overlap in the middle between the old and the new world. And I hope it doesn't go away anytime soon. So I would definitely put this in the top three of things to check out. And the pricing is right. You can't go wrong with this.
My response to that is I agree with everything you outlined. The thing is, when it comes to UX design, I think it's really, it's behind the ball. When it, how it works with artificial intelligence solutions, like Google Translate and DeepL, is cranky. But like I say, if you approach a professional translator to help you with a WordPress website on the initial, and you're asking them what plugin, they are, I would say 95% of them are going to say, or they're going to say, if you want to work with me and all my team, you're going to have to use WPML.
I mean, it's been around since 2007, almost as long as I have, or you have. I mean,
well, no, it was 2008 to 2009 when I got initially.
I
mean,
so I got it in 2006, and it was, you know, four of us sitting around now, almost. But the idea is that they've been around since forever. There's 90 people, 40 countries. You can't escape the gravity of how big that is and how, you know, relevant it is. So long in the tooth would absolutely be my agreement of describing what their interface is like. But that's also a comforting feeling, because a lot of times the gimmicks can get too much. You know, if used appropriately, they're great. But, you know, I hearken to like a iOS or iPhone type interface stuff. I loved the original skeuomorphic iPhone 1 stuff. Oh, it's a book. I click on it, right? It can go way too far the other direction with a lot of these interfaces with icons and things you got to roll over to see. And it's like, come on, like I'm 56 already. The fact that there's a menu that has just words, this is the thing that it does, can be actually very comforting to the type of people who are doing this sort of work, which is translation work. It's not sexy. It needs to be accurate.
Yes. Right. On to the next one. Polylang. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I think I am.
Polylang, yeah.
Polylang.
One of the three. Well, I would say there's four, but it sounds better. One of the three holy trinity solutions here, but I think it's the I don't know what four is, I can say, but this is one of the four that definitely carry a lot of the water in the space lately.
Yeah. Really popular because they've got a one-time fee structure for one website, 99 euros, not dollars, euros. Let's hope they're using WooCommerce for the checkout. And I don't know. I've been sarcastic there. But it's $99 one-time payment. I think that attracts people. I've had in the past, but this was a few years ago, I had some dissatisfaction with this set up in these people. But I don't know what your views, so I'm just going to throw it over to you. Got any experience with it?
First of all, it's very odd that their website, even for me here in the U.S., I mean, I know you tell people you live in Nevada, but you're really living off on an island in the Seychelles or something like that.
God, in my dreams.
For me here in Chicago, I do think that it's quite odd that their pricing comes up in euros and it doesn't have, like all the other translation sites, the actual currency translating. That just seems weird. However, I'm going to throw a dart into the board on why this is appealing to many people is the free plugin.
Yeah.
So you go, you're going to see it, you're going to use it, you're going to get hooked on it, and it doesn't quite have the legacy, or personally, it doesn't explain who's the people behind it as maybe WPML, but it does have that exposure through being like functional and there in the free repository. I am a little disturbed too as I sit here and I look at their site because unfortunately it's Marine Larimer. I don't know if that's, I honestly, as I sit here today, do not know who makes this plugin. And I'm kind of disturbed by that because I bet I could figure it out. But the fact that they've gotten so far and somebody's still hiding themselves and not showing up on the site bothers me. It bothers me as a marketer, but also as a product reviewer that we discuss this, because it seems ridiculous that anybody who's got a plugin with 500,000 installs would not be like, hey, I'm Spence and I'm the one behind this thing. You know, I got to look it up now.
Yeah, I just think they've also got an add-on. You know, there's different ways of doing this, folks. And they've got, here's the free plugin. That attracts a lot of people. And then they've got an add-on model, which you pay for various functionality through the add-on model to some... Well, it's a mixture of add-on and a one-time payment of 99 one-off.
And I found a person. His name... This is weird, too. Somebody from France named Truby.
Truby? Where are you, Truby?
Well, here's the thing. Like, again, let's think of the comparison. Like, we're talking about Contact Form 7. And I just admit it. I've been in WordPress since 2006. So I get it that all of us in the early days had, hey, I got a cool little handle and I don't put my picture on stuff. And I know the French have a different view than the British, than the Americans about whether to be up in public. But it kind of pisses me off, to be honest, that this plugin is this far along and the person, Chuby, whoever that is, I mean, I'm looking to see if there's anything I could find out even on their WordPress profile. And I can't really make heads or tails of it. And that bothers me because that shouldn't be, especially for paid plugins. So I'm going to personally make an open invitation and recommendation to Chuby or whoever it is that speaks to Chuby that it's 2023. Please out yourself and put a face and a real name and a real contact profile, because I think that would allow me and other people to feel better about the fact that your plugin otherwise holds water. But come on, like you're not hiding behind a firewall. Why is it that it has to be so hard to figure out who's on your team? Who's doing this port? Who's doing this and that? You know, use it to your advantage. And yeah, forgive me if I've missed something obvious, but I just can't find anything on your website or on your profile about this.
They don't make it easy to find. You can definitely say that.
It always freaks me out. We talk about this like when we talked about Envato and ThemeForest. It's like, do you go there? Well, those people don't seem to be very vested in putting out a business. Well, Polly Lang has a website. They have a profile. They have a domain. They have, like, make us trust you by saying you're not going to be here today, gone tomorrow, or you're hiding behind some kind of veil like the Wizard of Oz. That's the point.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm going to go for a middle break. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. Just want to point out, if you're looking for the best plugins, best recommendations, special offers from the sponsors, you can get all these goodies and recommendations of all the leading plugins that we discuss in this podcast by going over to wptonic/deals, wptonic/deals. And I can say, Spencer's a sponsor of the show. He's got a special, great special offer on that page and some of the other sponsors. And we got a curated list of all the plugins, that the leading ones that we talk about in the show. So let's go on to the next one. And it's TranslatePress. It's the one that we regularly use. It's the one that I would recommend. I just think it's got, it will work with Google Translate or DeepL, but we set it up with DeepL, and I just think it's a really great solution. So what's your experience with this one, Uncle Spencer?
Well, you know, it's in the category of the big four that have been around forever. I'm doing a quick rundown because I never bothered to do this before the show in general, but I will say that I'm going to call them out for a moment on a very weird thing. Okay. Besides the other things I was just barking on Shuby about. Okay. Their refund policy is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's a terms and services page, and it's longer than an IRS tax form of this and that and this and that, and you must do this and you must do that and this condition, and it's Tuesday and the dog ate it's your homework. Go F yourselves on this. It's 2023. If you have a plugin and you can't offer a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee, I would not recommend this plugin on that alone. Done. Because it's unconscionable to be doing that to people. Like, literally, go to their terms and conditions page. It is longer than my will and testament and everything else I did for estate planning. I mean, there are literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 items on this page. When you go to the basic thing, so I apologize, but I like see no evil. I stop right here, right now. Anything else about this, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Now, in fairness, this might be for many people the best plugin, the best product, but this is a poison pill. It really is. And the other thing about it is, as far as like the interface, the look and feel, everything else about it might be fine. I go back to the other thing. I don't see a name. I don't see a face. I don't see a person. I see a sort of thing that's supported by real people, and they don't look very happy. And I'm not sure if that's actually a real picture, but like, who's the person in charge? Who's the brand? Who's the whatever? Give us something to work with here. Because look, I went to San Diego, and Weglot is a French company, like some of these other two. And I think this must be a French company. Like, they've got personality. They've got a real human being, like somebody who's out there tweeting and talking and doing stuff. And I mean, this is just weird.
Well, if you go down to the company footer, it's got company and it's got team.
And I see about,
if you go down to the footer, it's got their team.
And it's Romanian. Let's click it together. Yeah. You click on about. It says it's a product of SC Reflection Media in Romania, which again, Culturally, I understand.
It's got, I don't know what, where you're looking.
Adrian Spiak.
Yeah. I've interviewed him. His team, he's a very, very generous entrepreneur. And they've got a great team, and they're based in Romania. They need to sort out their terms and conditions.
Here's what I would say then. Adrian, I do like, you are 100% correct. So I stand corrected. Take that about.
Can I record that?
Huh?
Can I record that?
Yeah, it record, send it. Adrian and your team, you actually, on the about page, take this stuff and put this on the front near the top of the homepage. Why? And by the way, please, if you need legal advice or otherwise, I'm an attorney. Get rid of the ridiculousness of your refund and your trial period and all the rest of this stuff, because this is just off-putting. I love the fact they're all casual. They look reasonably happy in these pictures. But like, take this stuff, put it on the front page, make it like a family environment, because the product itself, we both agree, has been around. And Cosmos Lab has been around a long time. I know their name since forever. So, you know, make it a human experience, because right now that's not happening. And to me, that's important in a space where there's so many competitors, marketing and branding and positioning and like making it a safe thing to buy and try. That's really important, isn't it?
No, that might be everything. I think you've got a fair criticism there. I wasn't aware of that. I would say the other thing which you could apply as a criticism is they've got other plugins.
Cosmos Lab is big for them.
I don't think what we said at the start of this journey, which was with Best Websoft, is I don't think they have an outrageous library of other plugins. I think they've got about 4 or 5 plugins. And I think most of their focus is on this particular plugin.
They've got Profile Builder Pro, paid member subscriptions, WordPress Creation Kit, Translate Press, which again, it's, I understand the origin story, because it's like many of us, right? It's an agency that started scratching the itch of its customers and decided to come out with products. And they seem to be doing really well because they've been around forever and the product is solid. It's just like anything else. Like, you don't want to do Coca-Cola where you screw up a classic brand and try to reinvent it and everybody hates it. But you definitely in 2023 have to look and feel and act like a 2023 WordPress company, not like a 2003 WordPress.
The other thing I want to point out, folks, is one of its strengths is you can choose either Google Translate or DeepL as the next one up we're going to be discussing. They use a combination. They don't give you the ability to choose which one to utilize. You do have to pay additional fee, but it's a very low fee to buy credits with, and you've got to set up a DeepL account. But one of the real strengths of this plugin is you can just select to utilize DeepL. And like I said previously, I'm not an expert on this, folks, but I'm just basing it on my own experience. DeepL is going to be a better choice than Google Translate.
I'm going to throw in 2 other things on the fire, because I have a feeling, and I welcome it, that the team or whoever's listening to this or hears from you, contact me, because this is an improvement thing. I'm not here to beat on the fact, just to beat on them. They're one of the big 4. But like, I'm looking at their homepage now, and I do not understand, for the second or third company now, why you're offering your products in Euro. Why doesn't it just automatically know? You're a translation company. Why doesn't it know I'm in the United States and offer dollars? This makes no sense to me. It's not 1899. It's 2023. So either give me the choice to have an obvious switcher, or make it do it on its own, because the URL information is there already of where my IP is based. And then down on the page, I see this 100% no risk money back guarantee, blah, 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 15 days. But that's just not accurate, because when you go to see the details of it, first of all, it should be 30 days and it should be unconditional, not the whole. So yeah. there's so many ways they can fix these things. Yeah. I'm available for consultative help, because like I worked with one of your competitors and God knows you guys could use the help because your product is fine, but this is not helping your product.
Yeah, I think you're talking about business, and it is a combination of business credibility and the core functionality of the plugin. When it comes, I like the founder. He's been on my podcast. He seems a generous soul, but everything you've outlined, I agree with as well. And so let's move on to Weblog. That's the problem I have with it, but it's down to my dyslexia. Weblog, whatever. With TranslatePress, you have to go to the DeepL and set up an account and blah blah blah. They provide that, and it's a my knowledge of it. They use Google Translate. They use the Microsoft product as well. They use a combination, and you get so many words and that blah 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 in the $15 it starts off with, is 10,000 words. And it's $15, and that you don't have to set up the DeepL account. And it has, to me, it has a more of a subscription feel to it. And also the plugin works really well, but they are not solely aimed at the WordPress, because you can use it, their product on Wix, could help you, or other SaaS-based platforms. It works. I think it works on Shopify, does it not?
It's cross-platform. I mean, I have a lot of things to say about these guys because, they retain my services.
I'm looking at their terms and conditions page right now.
No. Here's the difference. This is actually a unique product from the other ones, and it's an important distinction. First of all, they did not take $187 million, but they did take more than $50 million. The difference of this product, this service from the other ones is important. It is a hosted solution that is cross-platform. It uses the latest and the greatest tools for accuracy of translation. It's intended for... No, it does. It uses also a layer of auditing and editing and other things. But the biggest difference is they've set up the business in a way that even if you have a WordPress site, the onboarding, and you can try it for free, by the way, and legit free, not like credit card free, it legitimately works by connecting to whatever your site is running on. And let's just talk about WordPress. It's no point of anything else. And from a cross-platform standpoint, giving you all of the tools built in. I did several videos during the course of our relationship that showed how amazing it can be. For example, when you're working with like a WooCommerce site or a sales funnel site, or you're doing something, because the entire experience is instant. There's virtually no work required for most sites, and yet the output hits on those things I referred to earlier in the show, right? Like they're very sensitive with their translation that's being done about things like dialects and regional dialects and things. So from the difference of these things, all the other ones we've discussed are for the most part like really WordPress plugins first, priced as such. This one is priced much differently. It's priced on the words translated, and you very quickly get into the pro and higher, right? $79, $299. Which, by the way, they, amazing website. All the things I look for are on the website. There's the pricing translation. There's monthly versus yearly. There's free, as in free, like use it now, no risk, blah, 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 blah. And all you need to do is install a plugin, put your details into this account. You're in like 3 minutes or less using it. So I would say, of all the ones I pick, and I, of course, have a predisposed bias, but they're not a client of mine at the present time. But I'm predisposed because I had a lot to do with this company and we interacted for months. And I think this is the future of how these things should work. A plugin is awesome, but a service that's, you know, doing this at a higher level is kind of a little more interesting.
I think that's totally fair what you've outlined. I haven't butted in, but my position is slightly different. I think it is a quality service, great modern interface, well-funded. They've got this 50 million. They're trying to build a SaaS platform. The plugin really works well. It is a premier solution. The thing is, the only thing I would slightly disagree with you but I do agree with you, Transpress should really hire you because it's a great product, but they need to hire somebody like yourself to help them with some things. Is that I feel on the pricing level, it's much better value, Transpress, because you can set up your DeepL account and it's going to, for the medium, not the starter level, but in the medium level, if you've got a large website or a large WooCommerce, e-commerce or something. But on the other hand, it's very sophisticated, its integration with WooCommerce. So you're going to have, and I'm not an expert like you when it comes to
WooCommerce. I mean, it works. It doesn't matter. This is the difference too. Remember at the beginning of the show, I said there's a difference between like using a Chrome and browser to translate the end output versus translating at the native level. They provide all of the tools that are necessary to make the content multiple languages, right? So you're inputting natively in this or that and storing translation files, essentially. But at the output level, even if you didn't do that, what I'm saying is I feel they win for the extra money on the fact that the output is more likely to not off-put people, even if you haven't customized it, than some of the other ones where it looks and acts. I mean, we're getting in the AI world, so it gets better every day, but it looks and acts in some of the lower price plug-in only type things, kind of like Google Translate did it. Whereas with Weglot, I think you'll find even out of the box that the actual translation engine and the stuff that spits out is curated to a higher standard of dialects and other things. So it's just not a black and white answer, but it's like a concierge. If you pulled up to the Four Seasons or, you know, a very high-end hotel, the doorman greets you, opens the door, you come into this beautiful lobby. It's not like you're going to sleep any more or less in the bed. You still get a bed and a room and a bathroom. But compare that to going to the Motel 6. One's functional, one is an experience. And I think for the extra money, Weglot provides a level of conditions and service that they're not being shy about. That's they're going for, you know.
Yeah, I think this is, yeah. So I'm going to go through the top four. I think the top four are, and then I'm going to ask you if you've got any comment and if your top four would be different. If you just want to dabble in this and you've got a smaller website and cost is really important and you're just trying, you want to try it out, about offering a second language, blah, 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 non-profit, whatever. Maybe look at GTranslate, because it's a really good free product. Then you're going to, if you're doing some research and you might, you know, if you're looking to combine it with a translator, most of them are going to really advise you to look at WML, and I think it's a granddaddy. It's pretty rock solid. I just think if you're utilizing AI, that the two on the top of our list are probably a better choice. But a lot of people are going to disagree with me what I've just outlined, and they might be right. It's just my personal way of looking at this. And then you're going to make your decision. I think Transpress a good value solution with DeepL. But if you're looking for the Rolls Royce, I agree with Spencer, even though I struggle pronouncing
maybe their more name. Like maybe more like a a Lexus or a mid-level Mercedes sedan, not a Rolls-Royce. There's nothing about their pricing that is exceptional. It's appropriate for the level of service, and it's metered to a metric that I feel makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to me to charge per translated word. That actually is a logical thing, you know.
Well, DeepL does, but it's just doing it at a cheaper level.
Yeah, right, but I'm saying, you know, when you're in the WordPress world and it uses something that, again, is purely automated based on Google or Bing's engine, they're just charging, like, remember, number of sites. The one, it was weird. It was one site, three sites, nine sites. That doesn't even make sense versus, like, how about unlimited sites, but you pay by the word?
Yeah, I see it very similar to the AI writing tools. Look, Jarvis is a very nice tool. Jarvis works. That's
and
a
they
nice
charge
job.
You but right they, by the word? Or right?
Well, yeah, but they're charging you a top price. Yeah. There are other AI tools out there, writing tools, that I think do equivalent thing. And the market is also splinting into different sectors. But Jarvis, you know, and you got Bertha in the WordPress sector, but Jarvis is a polished product, does the job. And they ask for a premier, slightly premier price for that.
Or you're going to see with OpenAI and ChatGPT, right now we're on the GPT-3 engine, which Jarvis still, I believe, uses. There's been a big controversy over whether the GPT-4 engine is going to be available anytime soon because it could be the end of humanity. But for the products that we're seeing, including ChatGPT and all of the derivatives, WordPress plugins from some of our colleagues and so forth, there's a lot of options available for using GPT-3 for translation and for creative suggestions. But as we talked about, this last month is when the whole ChatGPT blew this thing out into the public. And now it kind of reminds me of a lot of other things, although not as crazy, where like all of a sudden, well, digital cameras maybe, right? Digital video, like all of a sudden everybody went from like waiting around for 2 weeks for your pictures to come back to like, look, I just made pictures. And then, you know, 1,000 different things come out, and cell phones in the same way. So we're going to see a lot of action in the space of AI generated stuff. And translation is absolutely part of it. Because I expect by episode 24, you and I will be completely replaced here by AI generated images and speaking. But certainly the website services are going to start using that, because doesn't it make sense that you're going to have it just AI translating stuff at some level? I mean, it does a better job on the fly.
Well, I think it's an interesting discussion, because a lot of people in the professional translators are probably going to feel quite threatened by this. But I think to some degree that's fair to feel threatened by this. But the reality is, based on my experience, a lot of clientele just couldn't afford to hire a professional translator. Right. Or I think in some ways this might encourage more people to translate their websites, to offer them in multiple languages. And then if they start getting customers and feedback about, I read about you, that section doesn't make sense, but I still decided to buy. If they're getting some feedback, then they would probably be encouraged to hire a professional translator to help them. Because I think, depending on the complexity, the niche that the website is selling in, if you're really getting some traction selling product to the specific language that you've added, you're going to be encouraged to get serious about hiring somebody to help you and to be an editor or improve it. I think, you know, you can never say no. I'm sure we're just on a journey, but I always think that probably you're going to be advised to hire somebody. But you're only going to do that if you have clear indication you're making some income. Is that making any sense?
I mean, I think you bring up a brilliant point. I rarely do avoid interrupting you, but this time I wanted to, because I think you really said that well. But I want to elaborate on how I think that fits together with things I've been hearing in the media and the public space, as well as through my technology background. I feel that the job market for services like a translator are definitely going to be disrupted by the availability of multi-language translation. It's undeniable that, again, and I've heard this talked about by on other shows, Jason Calcanis' show, you know, and so forth, that the disruption is going to push the things that are otherwise very expensive to becoming very cheap and much more useful globally for people to just start using. So your point about today being expensive to do, like, not the front end only, but the back end translation. There's two points that make it expensive. Number one, why do people need to put into their database today two or three languages? Because Google is being an asshole about it. Sorry for the kids. But they're forcing people to jump through hoops to please them, the master Google, by having SEO-friendly native language. There's no other reason for it. So in today's world, Bing is eating or about to eat Google's lunch for Google search results and otherwise, because they're saying, look, we're just going to have Bing do all this AI translation and somebody will ask and be given a logical, you know, paragraph by paragraph in their native language answer that was filled with affiliate links. Ta-da, bye-bye Google. That will eliminate that cost, but it will also eliminate the need. So what do I see happening? What I see happening is the job of a translator from literally reading and typing will move forward to the next point. They're going to the person who's skilled at using the tools of AI and making sure that it's properly interfacing with the public so that there's no weird stuff that will still happen for many years, like the automatic translation said, your mother likes to do something that is not something you want to say in public about your mom. And that's a problem because, like, even in today's world, ChatGPT is amazing to demonstrate the number three engine, but it still spits out a bunch of garbly gook that sometimes you go, wait, that's not right. So the jobs and the hiring will not be a requirement, I feel like, at the base level. We'll all have access to the core. But then the third thing probably is that they're going to get smart. We were talking in our show, and I've heard this on, again, many spots. They're giving it away for free now to get everybody hooked on it. But two problems come from that. Number one, the originators of the source content are not stupid. And they're catching up with, like, hey, you know, you can't really use my stuff for free without attributing it. And second of all, the problem is that they're going to start charging people to access it, right? Like, here's a little taste of this GPT-3 thing. And you're like, I can't live without it. They're like, yeah, okay, now we're going to start charging you like Jasper was. So we'll see where it goes. But my point is still the same. I would rather be using today's stuff as it is, but with the awareness of where it's going and then plan for the future. But everybody can make use of translation tools like this. They just have to don't buy a bunch of nonsense and don't buy something that's, you know, like takes forever to get set up.
Well, that, just to finish off, that's because fundamentally this is not entirely correct. There's much, it's much more sophistication, but fundamentally, this technology is at the present moment is a glorified scraping engine that does it to a much more sophisticated level. But it, you know, you're already seeing, especially around the image side of this technology, they've been sued by Getty, and there's just going to be an avalanche of people suing these services because they are scraping, they are breaking to some extent copyright. They're just doing it in a very sophisticated way that hides on the examples when that have been shown when it comes to the image aren't very sophisticated because they're, you know, they're spewing out images that have copyright Getty on them.
You know, by the way, I'm glad you brought up Getty because Getty, my legal background, Getty is a great example of how the money is going to pollute this entire conversation of translation, everything. Because as soon as the lawyers from one company or another that are source attributes, like, for example, we're debating where some of these GPT-3 answers come from. But let's say you're talking about translations. I mean, the engine of word for word is one thing, but the nuances and all the rest and the references. Well, a company like a Facebook or a Quora or a Twitter, like, they're sort of locking down the core data. But, like, what if you're a company that all of a sudden realizes, like, man, we've been used a billion times. We're going to hire some firm like Getty Images lawyer. Now, it just... it has to go through the system to be sorted out. Like, what is the system going to be used for? Because if they can't get to the source data, then AI really has a bunch of crap in, depending on who types it in. And it could be a bunch of, you know, crazy. Well,
there's a whole fundamentally, you know, they've got to provide, you know, the law on this, and you're much more knowledgeable than me about this. I think the law tries to be, you know, it's got some common sense elements in there. You know, you can utilize so much of a document, a written article, you can a video, a clip. It is, you know, there has to be some gray area there. But these people, you know, the lawyers must be salivating, and I'm not trying to be disparaging here, but they must, because they do that. It's a race to make billions, isn't it? And the collateral damage and the lawsuits and all the legal side, they deal with it when it happens. They're on the race to get the gold pot. And they know that in many ways it's a bit of a train wreck, and it's going to cause a load of aggro, but they can see the gold, can't they?
I think that's just the way technology progresses. Tina brings up a good point. She asks, do you think content creators are going to put their content behind a paywall? And I absolutely feel that the outcome of this will happen because everybody's going to push the boundaries, right? This is new technology. We saw this even in the old days. Remember MP3 and Napster, when people started recording songs and sharing them for free online? What's going to happen, though, is that once these things start to come up in various jurisdictions, and that shouldn't be ignored either, right? The EU versus the United States versus individual countries that aren't in either, there's going to be different ways that craziness comes out. But for whatever the jurisdiction and wherever it may apply, there's going to for sure have to be, and it will happen, a way for content providers to have some kind of an option in or out to either do not index or use my stuff, or sign me up like a YouTube, pay me when this gets viewed or used a certain fractional amount based on whatever. And then there will be an entire industry around that. I mean,
just to give you an example, not always, some of it is mind-blowingly well-written, but other times I've utilized these, and it's got an attraction to me because I have dyslexia, and I utilize these to help me. But it's been, you know, sometimes it's very sophisticated and really quite mind-blowing what it produces. There's other times where it is so evident to me, Spencer, but I'm not an expert, that it's just lifted stuff directly from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's just lifted straight from, because I think it's one of the major open source platforms that they scrape. It's not always, it's a real mixed bag, but some of it is just obvious to me. They just scraped it straight off Wikipedia.
But, you know, that's the difference. I was listening to Jason and Molly on that other show, and they were doing like a test. They were at a fun game where, like, okay, here's five different results. Let's figure out which one of these is the ChatGPT, which one is the content farm from scraping and putting it on a page, which unfortunately, that's what Google has encouraged. To please master Google, these offshore companies have entire industries around creating nonsense pages that are constantly just trying to get listed number one. And again, this is just, hey, you know, new technology breeds new ways of hacking the stuff. There will be the same problems and workarounds once we move over to ChatGPT. But my personal prediction I posted in Twitter and social media was, 2023 is for sure the year that Bing topples Google as the default way for people to get search results, because on a personal basis, it has become completely unusable. And about a year ago, we were on another show together and we had Rand Fishkin on the panel. And I was beating on Rand because he's an expert in SEO about how I think Google and pleasing the search engine is a waste of time versus personal relationship building. But this Bing thing demonstrates what I'm seeing now for myself and others. Ask a question at ChatGPT or one of those derivatives and see the results. It's like, It's amazing. So useful to read a paragraph and have some links in it than to have to go through 12 paid ads and then three sort of pseudo things. And I mean, it's just like black and white difference of better. And once that evolves and it becomes part of our built-in, you know, interfaces, all the jobs and the things we do will push up towards, like Tina suggests, content creation that's valuable to be used in there, people that use the tool but now help people that don't want to bother using the tool. We're just going to move up the ladder a rung, but we're not going to go away. There's going to be more cool things than ever to do, but people will have to learn, where does this fit into the business? And that will challenge the competitors, because now maybe you were a small company with two people and that company with $187 million was beating you down. Now, if you have somebody who knows how to use the tool, you might be able to.
You still can't get over that. I think hopefully you enjoyed. We went off a little bit off topic, but I think the live people that were joining us have enjoyed it. And we're going to wrap it up now, folks. Please join. I just want to point out before we end the show, please join us live. You can do that through the Membership Machine Facebook group page. Please join that. It's totally free. You can also watch the live show through the group page, or you can join us on YouTube to watch it. All the links will be on the WP Tonic website, but please join the Facebook group, because I am regularly publishing there, and Spencer's there as well. We'll see you next week for another great discussion about building a great membership website on WordPress, and we'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.